I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
The Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 462nd episode of the Puckle Podcast, question mark. I'm your well-rested host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my magnificent early morning co-host. We've got the one and only Basket.
What's up, Puckle peeps?
And we've got the man, the myth, the legend, the host of Battlecast. Actually, I realize you guys both do Puckle Plus shows. Never mind now. I'm behind the times. Seth Vilo.
Top of the morning to you.
You can hear these wonderful gentlemen over on the Puckle Plus feed. They carry all the weight that Thatch decided he didn't want to do anymore. And they do both TCG Cast and Battle Cast respectively. I always feel like I don't know if jealous is the right word, Seth, but sometimes first of all, welcome to the Puckle Podcast, the show where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And I get sometimes jealous because, for fun fact, of people who do listen to Puckle Plus, which is like, I think there's like a translation of something like 15% of the audience from Puckle goes over to Puckle Plus or something, according to the stats. I haven't followed up on that in a few months, but, let's roll with those numbers.
Works for me.
And so, but for those of you who do listen to Puckle Plus, I always get a little jealous because everybody always gets really excited when like one of you drops your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they get like really excited, and like whenever this one drops, it's just like, oh, a podcast, I guess.
Thanks. Well, TCG Cast is how I first found you guys, so it's kind of a little special to my heart.
No, I and you know what's worse is I used to host both those shows, and then I was just like, I can't. To be fair, like I mean, because this isn't like a full time job for me, I can't justify running like hosting, I don't know, like three podcasts a week.
Yeah,
I would. Oh my gosh, I would die. I keep up on all the things, except for OU now.
That's what I'm around for.
OU's an imaginary meta that only exists on your computer screen.
It also only exists for another couple of weeks, and then it becomes a firestorm.
Yeah, we'll talk about that today. It's not going to be fun. Yeah, no. I always think to myself, because like everybody gets like uber excited for the Puckle Plus shows, like in the community, and then like I drop a show, and they're just like, meh. Then Whimsicott hosts an episode and they get like blatantly super excited. And it's just, you know, it's just like, man, I know I'm the normal.
just change your accent every week, Thatch.
That's what we need to do. I'm not Thatch today. I'll be British Thatch this week.
Hello there. I am Seamus Vilo here today with the Battlecast.
That's what we need to do. That's absolutely, I don't know. I took a nice break. I played a lot of TCG on my vacation, though. I feel really bad for saying that. Because, like, I bought an iPad recently because I'm getting to that adult mode where it's just like, man, it'd be really nice to, like, read more books. And I hate Kindles just because they, like, Kindles, like, their processors are so slow.
Yeah.
And stupid. I hate them. They're running on, like, tablet technology from, like, before the iPad version 1 existed and stuff.
A thousand years ago.
Yeah, they just run super slow. They're very laggy.
Yeah.
And so I bought an iPad mini for myself to start doing more reading on and stuff like that. And then I remembered that that there's a TCGO app on iPad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so I downloaded it and I played like way too much.
Nice. Did you get in the Players Cup thing with the keys and everything?
No, because we have, well, you know, but the people at home don't know. Like, we have a Puckle account for like everybody to practice on so that we can, we can invest and like keep up with the meta and know how decks play and stuff like that. And so I played on that because for me personally, makes like sense. I don't care about playing in the Players Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really have no desire to do something like that. Like I did my regional back in 2018 with the video game, and I'm feeling pretty good. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I've done a lifetime of tournaments.
Yeah, I've been having a little fun with it. It's not going too well for me. I need to update the decks of mine on that account. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah,
inadvertently.
Yeah,
I haven't done that in a bit.
Yeah, no, I played around and just like and played a few games. Just learned what's recent in the meta because I mean the newest set really opened up and brought a lot of stuff in.
Yeah,
I pretty much gave up on my account. I'm just using the Puckle one now.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, Shaman came back. I mean, Crobat V is here, and it's a fun that's a fun set, and it I feel really bad because like I've watched the TCG and like I got really excited like when Sun and Moon came out mm-hmm. when that set dropped because they were moving away from the EXs and going to the GXs, which were more like the old EXs. And I thought that was really cool. What a great way to slow down the meta so it's just not like big, hungry power boys.
Yeah.
And then I got really upset when Tag Team dropped because it was just like, it was just like, oh, so we're just going back to that then, huh?
Yeah. And now we're at a turn where turn five is late game.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And now we're at, you know, VMAXs, which is honestly Mega's done right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like a whole thing. It's just a whole thing. It's annoying. The meta is way faster now, like way faster than it used to be. Because I used to play the XY meta. So like I'm aware of what it used to be. And I was just like, oh man, you're making great changes. And it's just like, oh, same thing happened again. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're back.
How quickly can you altered creation or how can you stop them from altered creationing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's too.
Yep. Yep. Oh, ADP. ADP. I mean, that rotates out at least next year.
Yeah, but then you have a whole nother year. And like with the set coming after this, I don't know if you've really.
I haven't been paying attention to the stuff that's coming out. I've been just trying to like keep current. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to keep current and not look too far ahead because I'm already looking too far ahead with like the video game, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate because I don't like Series 6, like VGC and BSS has been probably the most fun I've ever had in Pokemon. Especially VGC, like mm-hmm. the meta that Series 6 created in VGC, I think has allowed for a lot of really creative and fun stuff. Except for Lapras and Porygon Z, but like I think so many cool things have come out of that, and I'm gonna be sad to see it go in November, just so that Lando can come in and be Lando again.
Woo-hoo. I think it's kind of fun and interesting that both OU and the TCG are about to turn into a dumpster fire around the same time frame.
I think I don't know that VGC is going to turn. I mean, we can save most of it for the topic. I don't think VGC will turn into too much of a dumpster fire. They're pretty good at balancing themselves, and they already said like they're not going to let essentially like the box art legends in. So we're not gonna have GS Cup in VGC, but like, oh, I mean, OU is gonna be a dumpster fire without a hidden power with Lando running around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think Lando's a little more balanced without Z moves.
Oh yeah,
without Z moves, I think Lando is fine, or not fine, but it's better. I think he'll come back to his over centralizing point, and they still won't ban him. and that's fine. I don't play OU anymore because they took away my timer for whatever.
Yeah, do it.
They took away like the yeah. What honestly, Seth, that's the only thing holding me back. I'd play OU again if the fantasy land would give me back my timer.
Yeah,
that's been something that's been really weird just for like the longest time in Pokemon video games. Has been. I mean, even since like Gen 6, I would say. I think Gen 5 was okay about it, but like starting in Gen 6, Wi-Fi battles, like you used to be able to set up your own rules, and then after that, you kind of had to just go with the rules that they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a little restrictive. Like, I always remember setting up rules on, well, one, Pokemon Stadium, like, way back in the day. But then, like, on Pokemon Battle Revolution. Battle Revolution, by the way, best way to play online in Gen 4.
I totally
just saying,
agree.
Just saying.
That was so cool. I loved that.
Just saying. Best way to play online in Gen 4 was Battle Revolution. But that's a discussion for another day. Maybe we should do a Battle Revolution retrospective episode. That sounds like fun. One day.
I'd have to figure out a way to play it.
you can emulate it on Wii. You just can't play online, obviously.
Right.
I know there's a server on there. If you own a Wii and you want to play it, you can go and connect to it. But like, who is playing Pokemon Battle Revolution online on that very limited, already limited server?
Right.
It could be all of us. We could all do it at once.
Hostile takeover.
That would be so much fun. Like, we do random matches and we just keep running into each other. But all right, this is a good place to stop. We'll go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to the news.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we have a few cool things to talk about. First of all, there was a brief new Crown Tundra commercial in Japan, and it shows very little new footage.
It shows that Reggie Alecki can undo its arms into a bunch of little creepy electric vines that are
It's not really that different.
Which I thought was awesome.
I hate it so much.
It's creepy.
They did. I mean, the hype is, I'm going to put hype in quotes. The hype is real.
What?
I mean, there's still some things for them to reveal, which I'm surprised they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they laid all the cards on the table for Isle of Armor. Like, yeah. Isle of Armor's cards were just like all there. Like, here, this is what this is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not to necessarily like, you know, drag on it or whatever, but there wasn't a lot to it really.
You're not entirely wrong. I think Crown Tundra, more than anything, was a proof of concept to me, mm-hmm. of like how cool something could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crown Tundra felt more like a course correction than something substantial, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I love Crown Tundra. Yeah. I think Crown Tundra is cool for what it is. Or not Crown Tundra, Isle of Armor is cool with it.
Yeah. Replace all those Crowns of Tundras with Isles of Armor.
Crown Tundra is just the new hotness, okay?
Yeah.
The new coolness.
It's the new cool, yes. As of recording, we've got like 12 days to go, so that's pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm excited for a lot of reasons.
I think the thing I'm most excited about for it, and it has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, I think I'm excited to see if they're going to do like another news dump on us on mm-hmm. the 22nd. I think that's what I'm most excited for.
Yeah. I'm mainly curious about the rumors about like Calyrex and if there's something funky going on.
Those aren't rumors. Those are real.
Wait, I haven't heard this. What is it?
Those are real. Those were found in the data mine.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily trust anything anymore. They can alter data as they wish. So.
They can. That is true. But I don't know. I feel like those are there because like they just put the Pokedex number all the way up basket.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's two Pokemon that we don't know about.
Ah.
And Calyrex gets forms.
He gets forms with those two.
After eating those two Pokemon, it's implied.
I don't know if eating's the right word, but yeah.
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Hey. Okay, moving on. Tell us about the most exciting part of the Crown Tundra release.
Pikachus. The big thing, there's a bunch of Pikachus in hats coming. Currently, it's the Sinnoh cap, which will be available until Nintendo 30th. Wow, November 30th.
Nintendo 30th. No, that's the month of Nintendo. Can confirm.
I need to finish this coffee, apparently. Anyway, a brand new World Cap Pikachu will be distributing on October 30th, so you can go get that. And this is kind of setting the stage as well for all those funky hat Pikachus in Go to be able to land in the Sword and Shield games.
Not at all.
So eventually it is, once they get the Go to home connectivity.
I don't agree with that.
But they'll be able to exist in the games.
Not party
you can find
hat
the codes
Pikachu.
On Serapy.
Not party hat Pikachu.
Maybe not that one, but other hats that were available.
All of the other hats have already been available as of
am I thinking it? Hats for previous games? Is that what I'm thinking?
So you're thinking, yeah, I guess I think
I
so
just
like,
need to finish this freaking coffee.
So you've got all you've got like you can get like every Ash hat Pikachu in Sun and Moon. Like this was a distribution they already did.
Okay.
And then they put him over. That's why the World Cap Pikachu's like a
new
thing.
That's what I'm confusing with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's already happened. Because remember, there's like Pikachium Z or whatever nonsense.
Oh, yeah, I'm stupid. That's what it is. So you can get your hat Pikachus in the game more, I guess.
You can get more of them.
You can get a lot more of them with codes. That's the thing.
I think you get a hat yourself, too, or I might be wrong.
I have several hats.
No, I think you can get the Ash hats in-game. I don't know if it's just from the movie distribution or not, though.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's that. Someone take this from me before I misspeak again.
It's Basket.
All right. So we're getting a bundle pack that contains Pokemon Sword or Pokemon Shield and their respective DLC, which will be released on November 3rd. It's going to be $90 in the U.S. because, I mean, no discount. So
60 plus
30
equals
90.
That's a penny more than buying them separate.
Yeah, I'm glad they just call it a bundle pack, because like my main concern, like when they first dropped that news, was they're gonna be like, this is the complete edition of Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah,
and I was gonna be like, oh man, well I guess no more DLC.
Now, yeah,
this is the ultimate edition. But no, I think they're just doing it because it's just like, yeah, you might as well just buy it with everything now.
Just wait till next November when you can get one for 120.
I think that's the one that they like call Ultimate Sword and Shield, and like yeah. They just drop it to like $60 or whatever, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or 90 even, and you get like.
I have been hearing rumblings of people thinking that there's going to be more DLC. Is that what you guys are thinking? That's the 120 thing?
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, okay, so like in a perfect world, that's what I want. I've said this several times on the show, so like I don't want to beat that dead horse too much, but that's what I would like to see. I could also see it going in a way where like we just get a new game next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New, I'll put new in quotes. Like, I could see it being like the Sinnoh remake or something. And then they just like finish the decks in that. And then we get the update to Sword and Shield where they have all the Pokemon in it. But I can see it going either way. In a perfect world, I think they do it. Like, Joe Merrick also came out and was on Twitter recently. And he was just like, I think they'll finish the decks in one way or the other. And I don't know. Like, the thing that scares me is like the things that are missing aren't like, not all of them are like the greatest things. Like, they selected very carefully which Pokemon they were putting in Isle of Armor,
mm-hmm.
I think. And they took a lot of, like, the good things that were left out and put them in there. And not all of them, because they left some, like, I would call heavy hitters out. Specifically the one they made a $500 plush of recently.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, you can buy a $500 Mareep.
Like 3 feet tall, right?
Yeah, it's life size.
Oh my.
You can buy this on PokemonCenter.com right now if you want. Yeah, so you can buy a $500 Mareep. And so he's not making his way to Crown Tundra. So no. I would call that, because like the Ampharos line, I think, is one of the more popular lines in Pokemon.
Yuck.
Like, I'm sorry that you hate Johto and you hate good things.
Says the pot to the kettle.
That the Houndoom line is also missing, I think. There's a good number of Pokemon that are still missing.
Cries in Poison Heal users.
Yeah, Kleiscor's gone.
Breloom too.
Breloom's gone. Breloom's gone, which is, so there's a lot of good stuff left. Tropius, most importantly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Tropius isn't like a surprising number of national or regional dexes, by the way.
It really is. For being a tree that only grows in tropical areas. Yeah.
It's in a surprising number of regional dexes. Like, this, if anything, has made me realize how weird a lot of past regional dexes have been.
Right.
The one that really gets me, because, I would say one of my bigger disappointments was when Swish launched, like, its regional Pokedex was smaller than that of X and Y, which was kind of a bummer. Because X and Y put in, like, 450. It was a little over, actually, but...
Mm-hmm.
But they did some really bad things in my, like, they put all of the rats that aren't Rattata in it at the time. Like, they're all in it. And they're spread out.
Keep finding them.
They're spread out. Like it's not all at the beginning. But yeah.
Okay, I just looked up this $500 Mareep plush, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's definitely not $500 cool, but apparently a lot of people do not share my opinion on this, because on the Pokemon Center website, it is currently sold out.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay. So it's gone?
Dang.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I feel like you do something with the Pokemon that you you sell the $500 plush for. Same with, like, you know how Greninja won that contest last year for being the most popular Pokemon?
I never want to see that frog again.
All right, but I digress. Video game battling news. And we've got that. So the next online competition has been announced, and it will be Battle of Legends, which is a doubles format. So VGC. Standard rules, rule set prior to the ban list, but you'll be able to use up to one legendary Pokemon from the following list: Mewtwo, Mew, Celebi, Jirachi, Reshiram, Zekrom, Kyurem, Keldeo, Cosmog, Cosmoem, Solgaleo, Lunala, Necrozma, Magearna, Marshadow, Zeraora, Meltan, Melmetal, Zacian, Zamazenta, Eternus, or Zarude. Which I find really odd, seeing that Zarude's, like, not out in the U.S. yet, officially.
Oh, yeah, it isn't. Huh.
Yeah. So that is really odd. But so the thing that I think is, the sleeper in this meta, obviously, is Magearna. I don't care what anybody says. I think Magearna's the way to go.
Nah, Eviolite Cosmoem.
Okay.
Let's go.
There you go. I want to see someone bring the Cosmog just for the memes. But registration is open until October 15th, and the competition itself will run this weekend from October 16th to October 18th. And you get the best prize of all, 50 battle points for participating.
Woo!
I hate that. All right, Pokemon Go, Seth.
You bet. From now until October 23rd, Sinnoh and Dragapult will be featured in 5-star raids, also called Origin Form Giratina. So you have a couple weeks to get that up until the Crown Tundra comes out. And also, this is the actual really cool part, until Tuesday, October 13th. So you have, from the time this show comes out, 24 hours to type in a very long-winded, nonsensical code you can find on Cerebi.
Or probably on the Discord.
Or probably on Discord somewhere, but you can definitely find it on Cerebi if you scroll down far enough. In that, you get 20 Ultra Balls, 1 Star Piece, 10 Pineapple Berries, and most importantly, 10 stickers to put onto gifts to friends. This is a celebration thing of the 5th anniversary of Go's launch, but that's some good stuff for free.
Some of it. I don't know. I guess. I don't know. I have too much stuff.
All of it except the stickers is awesome. So.
Yes. That's true. Tell us about the next Community Day basket.
All right, we have Charmander. It's going to be held on October 17th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. your local time. If you evolve it to a Charizard, it'll learn Dragon Breath during the event. It has 3x Stardust during the event and a Tale of Tales purchasable research, which if it wasn't, you know, behind a paywall, I would super highly advise you to get it because it's supposed to give you a bunch of... Mega Charizard, what are they?
Oh, does it give you the Mega
Energy?
Really?
Yeah, it'll give you the Mega Energy during the research. Like, that'll be, like, the reward for some of the stuff.
It's only, like, 99 cents, though. Like, it's a dollar.
Well,
Pogo has figured out how to monetize the poop out of their game.
For you Android users, get the Google Survey app, and you can start answering surveys and get this for basically free.
Before I had to convert back to the Apple corporation... Mm-hmm. I did that all the time on my Android.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. I made something like $20 a year.
Oh yeah. I'm sitting on $5 right now just from answering surveys like, "Hey, did you go to Kroger?" "Yes, I did." "Okay, here's a dime."
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for letting us know that our app is tracking you properly.
Yeah, basically that's what it is.
All right, and then beginning of October 5th and going until November 30th, players will be able to redeem 1 remote raid pass per week, which is pretty cool. Players must have less than 3 in order to redeem, and each pass must be redeemed within the week it is offered.
Ooh. I still think they should do daily raid passes. Should just be both remote and not remote, but that's just me.
I agree, but oh well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're literally just coming for the money. Like, that's, Pokemon Go, like, in the past years, it's been like, money is our friend, and here are 5 more ways we can monetize.
Yep.
All right, Pokemon Go is also doing various events across the world, and is currently promoting an event at 7-Elevens in Mexico. Yeah. Keep an eye out if they bring something like this to your home country.
I think Sableye is a part of it, so I got sad.
You could go to Mexico. No, you can't. It's COVIDing outside.
Yeah.
So... all right, in Puckle news, we hit the $1,000 stretch goal on Patreon. We do have Puckle Fall League badges, and they will be going out to the $15 patrons if you're at that tier in the month of November. If not, you can always purchase them on our Etsy store for $20. And also, we're going to also have a Crown Tundra guide, which is going to offer information for everybody over on our, what's it called? Our Discord for everybody. So definitely check that out. P. McGee and I think Shark Finnegan have been working a lot on that. But on that new, on that front, I think we are going to cut it here. And we're going to kick it on over to the quiz segment of the show, Puckle's Pokey Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Pokey Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, Seth and Basket will be working together as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions from our Discord server. You can submit them. And they have a possible total of 8 points through some convoluted rules we've developed over 5 years. One day I'll just write them down so that people can just have the list of rules. Yeah. Because it's really long to say. Just know that they'll get a point for asking the question, and we'll say if they have a chance for a bonus point. They do have a lifeline in the form of a hint where they can ask for a hint on any of these questions that they want. However, they can answer all the questions correctly without using it. They can cash in for an extra point at the end. So this segment, as always, is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all of your cool anime needs. All right, we are going to go ahead and get ready. Our first question is going to be from... This is from Sleeve McDuskull, and I'm sure Seth will probably know this. Probably not.
Oh, boy.
Which is the heaviest Pokemon with the access to the Levitate ability?
Heaviest with access to Levitate?
Yes.
Magnezone? Doesn't... Or did he lose that?
It never got it.
Does he lose that when he... Oh, I was thinking Magneton has it, right?
Nope.
Ah, oh, what am I thinking of?
None of them have it.
Oh, this is why I am not in the OU.
So what are some prominent big fat Levitate users? Claydol comes to mind. Bronzong comes to mind. Hydreigon, but I don't think it's heavy. It's just kind of a thing. But they might have made it heavy because it was originally based on a artillery tank. It's not Haunter. I know that. Because that's probably what you're thinking, Basket, was the Ghastly Haunter line. Because they have it for the first two, but then Gengar loses.
Oh, and then he lost it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else with Levitate. Flygon has it. The Lateyes have it. Any other legendary that has it?
I don't know how heavy he is, but Weezing and Galarian Weezing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're heavy.
What is Cosmoem's ability?
I don't know. I don't think it's Levitate.
I don't think it's Levitate either, but now I don't know.
I think your original idea of Bronzong,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he's steel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. And he has the ability Heavy Metal.
And he can use Heavy Slam, too. I mean, I think. No, maybe I'm confusing him with Celesteela. Sure. Let's go with Bronzong.
Bronzong is incorrect, unfortunately. It is second place, though.
Dang.
Really?
Yeah, it is second place. Bronzong is 187 kilograms or 412.3 pounds for you non-scientists / the rest of the world. So the answer is, and catch this, Giratina Origin Form.
Dang it!
At 650 kilograms or 1,400 pounds.
Dang it!
All right.
I knew I was missing a legend. Ugh.
Your next question is going to be from, I guess we'll say Sari today. Team Rocket, Jesse and James, as we know it, has Meowth as the personal third member and mascot in the anime. What is the third member and mascot of their rifles, Biff, Butch, and Cassidy?
Oh, man.
What you got for me, Basket?
I know this. I knew this answer. I figured you guys would know.
Are we trying to guess the Pokemon?
Yeah, you're trying to guess their third Pokemon. So when Jesse and James do their motto, Meowth jumps in at the end. When Butch and Cassidy do their motto, at the end there's a Pokemon that jumps in.
Giratina Origin Form.
Yeah, there we go.
I knew this answer. I'm surprised neither of you know this answer.
Is it just a Scraggy Meowth?
Oh my god, wait. Is it Eradicate? Is it Eradicate?
Is that your answer?
Yes, yes.
I'm trusting you on this one.
Eradicate is correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you guys are one for two. So that was your Pokedex question. We're going to give you a Pokedex entry. You need to tell me what Pokemon that Pokedex entry is for. However, if you guys are riding the struggle bus too hard, I'm going to shove a second Pokedex entry down your throat, and you will lose a potential point. If you get it on the first entry, you get 2 points. If you get it after the second entry, you get 1 point. If you don't get it at all, it's zero.
Awesome.
So our first entry this week is going to be from GomazAdam72. It's Pokemon Alpha Sapphire Pokedex entry reads, "This Pokemon adeptly flies from branch to branch in trees. In a forest, no Pokemon can ever hope to catch a fleeing blank, this Pokemon, however fast they may be. Who's that Pokemon?"
I feel like it's Sceptile or Grovyle.
Can you read it one more time?
"This Pokemon adeptly flies from branch to branch in trees. In a forest, no Pokemon can ever hope to catch a fleeing this Pokemon, however fast they may be."
Maybe not Sceptile.
Mm.
Alpha Sapphire, Talo comes to mind. Swellow is a little bit more aggressive, so I don't think it's that one. Anything else come to mind for you?
Tropius.
The speedy Tropius in the trees.
Flies from branch to branch, crashing through the canopy. Running from a predator? A kid wanting a banana.
Come back, Mr. Tropius!
I think your first guess is the best one I can think of. I'm
by first guess, do you think in Grovyle?
Yeah, let's go with Grovyle.
Because I don't think it's Sceptile. It talks more about being a guardian and how its back seeds feed people.
Is Grovyle your final answer?
Yeah, Grovyle.
That is correct.
Whoa.
Yeet.
That is correct. You guys got two on that one. So you guys are 3 for 3.
Holy crap, Seth. I thought you were just pulling that out.
No.
The hint entry was from Pokemon Ruby, and it says, "The leaves growing out of this Pokemon's body are convenient for camouflaging it from enemies in the forest. This Pokemon is a master of climbing trees and jungles."
It uses the word flies because Grovyle looks like an Archaeopteryx.
All right. This next question is your multiple choice question. You guys are doing okay. So you can get a possible total of 3 points because you got a question wrong already. This one is going to be from Shark Finnegan. There are 5 answers. I only need 3 of them, 1 point for each. Or actually, no. I'm going to say 1 point for each 2, and then if you get all 5, you get 3.
Okay.
So, what naturally water-type Pokemon cannot learn Surf? There are 5 of them, and this excludes things like Cast Form and other Pokemon that change into water-type due to an ability. These are just water-type Pokemon that can't learn Surf.
Okay. Water types that can't surf. That's weird. Magikarp.
Oh.
That is one.
Yes, yes.
I believe Phoebus can learn TMs and HMs, which makes it notably different than Magikarp, so I don't think that's an answer.
Can Krabby or Kingler learn surf?
I feel like they can.
Any weird
waters, like Magikarp level waters.
You do have the hint if you ever need it.
And we have gotten a question wrong, so I feel like this is a good one to use the hint on.
But that hint is also a point.
No, it's not, because you got a question wrong.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind. Yeah, let's cash it in then.
All right. So you got Magikarp. There's 4 more. One is a Gen 3 Pokemon that evolves into a not water type. One of them is a Gen 6 Mythical. Another one is a Gen 7 Pokemon that you can throw back into the water from the beach. And the other one is a very, very cool new Gen 8 Pokemon.
Okay. The 7 one is Pukemuku.
That's 2, so that's 2. Well, that's a point.
All right.
It's a move with base power on it, so obviously Pukemuku can't learn it. Gen 4 Mythical?
No, Gen 6 Mythical.
Gen 6. I can't read my own handwriting. Gen 6 Mythical. Volcanion.
That is correct.
A Gen 3 that evolves into a not water. Surskit.
Surskit, that's 2 points, so you got 1 more.
And then a very cool Gen 8 Pokemon.
Cool new Gen 8 Pokemon.
The one-hit monkey? Or the rapid strike monkey? Urshifu.
Oh, yeah.
Or bear, right? Like, I don't think he can learn surf.
Yeah, Urshifu rapid strike.
That is correct, that is 3 points. I think that's 6 for 4 now, I don't
Heck
remember.
Yeah.
You just keep track of your own score.
I was so worried I wasn't going to be able to come up with one.
Your next question is going to be your base deck question, as always. And this one's going to be from BAM! And he wants to know, which fully evolved grass-type Pokemon has the lowest special defense stat?
Fully evolved grass with lowest special defense. Tangrowth comes to mind, but I don't know.
That could also include Pokemon that are not fully, that don't evolve at all.
Like Kartana. Because it's got like 40 or 50.
Isn't it one of those ones where it would have like a base? Well, no, never mind.
Kartana is extremely weak to special. I know that because it's got really low HP and really, really low special defense combined to where like Scalds could do it, KO it. Resisted. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I feel more safe with, because I feel like Kartana's would be like 47 or something like that. Some prime number between 40 and 50. And fully evolved rules out a lot of stuff.
I'm going to need an answer.
Oh, man. But this is hard.
You think you have any other paper-thin, stupid grass types basket?
As far as special defense, oh, man.
I need an answer.
I think Kartana's our best bet.
I don't know. I'm just going to throw out a couple.
I'm going to need an answer.
Kartana.
Kartana.
Kartana is correct.
I feel like he was pushing us because we were on it.
A base special defense of 31.
31, okay.
The second lowest is Tangrowth with 50.
Cool, I had them both.
Third is a four-way tie between Cacturne, Shiftry, Flapple, and Breloom.
I was thinking Shiftry, but I didn't want to say it and sound like an idiot.
All right, so that gives you guys, I think, 7?
Yeah, I was keeping count. That's 7. We got question 2, 3, 2, 4, 3, 5. Yeah.
Okay, that changes up the standings a little bit, kind of. I mean, the problem is, like, so many people are near the top.
Yeah.
So we have in first place Claude9 with 27 points. In second place, we have R Sigma with 25 points. In third place, we have the P McGee with 20 points. In fourth place, it's a tie between Linian and Seth Vilo at 19 points.
Oh, wow.
In sixth place, we have Whimsicott at 13 points. In seventh place, we have Basket with 12. Sublime in eighth with 10. And Jushiro and Dr. Shamu tied for ninth with 6 in the rear. You guys are in a race to 30. Whoever gets there gets that $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com to put towards your $500 Marie. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the topic. We got some new iTunes reviews here at Puckle, so this week we've got one from Pokemaster12365. Why I love Puckle. Puckle is the best Pokemon podcast you can get, period. While driving in the car, while lying playing Pokemon, you can listen anywhere. The hosts are so friendly and give you lots of great tips in all things Pokemon. Whether you like Pokemon Go, the TCG, or the games, they will talk on it all. With an average episode length of an hour and 30 minutes, you have a whole heap of content all week. Did I mention they upload weekly? Keep playing and Puckle on. Well, thank you for that. You too can get your iTunes review right on the show. All you have to do is write an iTunes review or review us wherever you listen to us on the podcast. But until then, thank you for that. And we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the Pokemon Crown Tundra leak. Are any of the Pokemon cool? Are they going to change the meta? Is it as exciting as we think it is? Or as terrifying as I think it is, because I think it's really interesting, because when we have Basket, who knows nothing, and he can ask us questions, and then Seth Vilo is a OU expert, and I wouldn't call myself a VGC expert, but I call myself VGC knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. So I think the decks I like coming back from like a personal standpoint, because some of my favorites are in there. Like, I'm a big fan of the Electivire line.
Oh yeah, Electivire is so cool.
He's bad now, but he's cool.
It's sad.
He used to be good before Team Preview was a thing.
Yeah. Garavire.
You could Garavire just, back in the day. Back in Gen 4.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wasn't he, like, did he even last until Gen 5? Was he big in Gen 5?
No. Because Team Preview started in Platinum. Not Diamond and Pearl, it started in Platinum.
Okay, so he didn't even make it through his first gen.
No, not at all.
Oh, that's sad.
But he was good. He was good for half a second,
and he still doesn't get close combat.
Yeah, he gets cross chop. Yeah,
it's verified.
Yeah, I know. It is cool because a lot of Pokemon do get like cool new moves now too. Like,
yeah.
Like, and new moves, it's like old moves they should have gotten the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, to be fair, they didn't bring back a lot of not legendary Pokemon in Crown Tundra. Like, I think if you count it, it's only like 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm. A lot of pseudo legendaries. Dragonite.
Oh, yeah. They filled out the rest of the pseudo legendaries that Swish didn't have. Like, yeah. Like Dragonite's one, which is the last one to be excited for. Yes.
Pardon yourself.
I wish I was lying. and then, because like Salamence and Metagross are coming back to fill in, and then you've got Garchomp. I think those are the only ones missing. I think the rest of them are there.
Hey, man, he's got Extreme Speed. He's got Thunder Punch. He's got Multiscale.
I don't, like, with Heavy Duty Boots, he might see, like, in OU, he'll see a little bit more usage.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be anywhere near like Salamence levels or anything. Like, Salamence is a better Dragonite.
It's a more offensive Dragonite. And something else I want to throw out there just for giggles is that we not only have all the Pokemon coming back, but we also have a lot of legality changes for past gen things and current gen things. Because between the nature mints that unlock previously nature locked things and the confirmed ability patch, I think that's what it's called, that changes something to its hidden ability, that unlocks a whole slew of things too. Like, for instance, Basket, your Dragonite, you can now run Heal Bell and Multiscale. Previously illegal, because Multiscale's hidden and Heal Bell was only from purifying from XD, but you can do that now. Like,
what?
I can't think of many more combinations that are straight out illegal.
I don't.
Other than shiny. Like, that.
I think at this point, like, this is a personal, like, slam on OU from Thatcher's part.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gotten to the point, especially like now it's five generations in of like transferring.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've gotten to the point where it's just like crazy, crazy. Some of these like you're saying, like some of these moves. And the thing I am a fan of with Swish is we can take a Pokemon from Colosseum or something and like make it Swish legal.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a Smogon meta where it was just like, oh, all Pokemon have to be this legal, I think I would play it more often, because like at this point it's just getting really convoluted.
Kind of. I was honestly expecting really early on in Sword and Shield that when something touched home, it was going to have a move reset. That's what I was expecting, and we didn't get that. I anticipate that'll come at some point in the future.
I think it's interesting that we don't have that. I'm going to be completely honest, and I think it's because Sword and Shield is kind of an experiment in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of play with it. Like, I think, I really think that their whole plan now, at least, is roll everything back out, right? Yeah. Like, everything will be back at some point. Maybe not like water sport. Nobody cares about water sport. Yeah. But like things like Hidden Power. I think Hidden Power comes back.
I hope not.
I hope it's like locked unknown.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really hope. But I can see Hidden Power coming. They've added moves back in, like an Isle of Armor.
Yeah, they have. Kinesis, Alakazam is an example.
So like, I've been listening to your show, Seth, and Urshifu is like super dominating. Is there anything that's coming out in this new expansion release that's gonna just like be able to wall him or be able to like take him on a 1v1 other than having to use another Urshifu?
There are checks that come out with this. A couple that really punish it for existing are the
existing.
Return of
the
Tapus. Yeah, I mean, really.
Tapus are back.
They don't really stop it. They're a check at best.
Yes,
but
I agree with that.
Things like Tank Garchomp with Rocky Helmet and Rough Skin, if it touches it, it loses a third of its health. So,
I actually ran one of those in the oh man, it was when I was doing the Dark Gym thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I love that Pokemon. So if that's coming back and, oh yeah.
And there's a couple others like Zygarde could probably absorb a hit and keep going with either Coil or Dragon Dance. Landorus Therion is going to be able to kind of put a stop to it. Not so much with Wicked Blow because that crits and it bypasses the attack drop, but that's something to keep in mind. The best possible check to Urshifu is Buzzwole.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, Buzzwole is here. We get all the Ultra Beasts back, which I think is Nutso's. Yeah. And I'm scared if Beast Boost doesn't get a nerf.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will either, and that's what scares me. Like, that's what I'm scared about, is Beast Boof not getting a nerf, because especially even in, like, VGC, like, it can't snowball as bad, but it can still snowball. I can see that becoming a huge problem. Like, I don't know, what I see happening is very similar to what happened in Gen 7, because, like, I wasn't a big fan of the Gen 7 meta in general, and I blame a lot of that on Magearna and Ash Greninja.
And Kartana.
And there's like a lot of things that I blame that on. There was real power creep in Gen 7.
Yeah.
Because Fairy got like a giant boost. Because there was the second generation that Fairy type existed, and they were just like, let's go crazy and balance it. Mm-hmm. And they gave us all these cool Fairy legends and the Tapus and everything. But the Ultra Beasts too, like, are just nuts.
Yeah.
And I am a little worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a little worried.
I'm less worried about the Ultra Beasts in general, because pretty much they're going to stay in the same place as they did last gen. Naganadel's going to be banned. Pheromos is going to be banned. Blacephalon's going to be a little crazier because it got Scorching Sands now. Stack Attack is still a meme.
Wow.
Cortana's still great. Celesteel is straight up outclassed by Corviknight.
Corviknight's really good. I think for you and OU, I absolutely would agree with you. In VGC,
yeah, for OU.
In VGC, I am scared for a lot of reasons.
Because, I agree with you there.
Because Dynamax is happening at the same time.
Yep.
Like, seeing any of these guys in seeing Ultra Beast and Dynamax is terrifying.
I want to see the day where a Stack Attack of Dynamaxes kills something with Max Spike to get a defense boost
and then gets a defense boost from Beast Boost.
Then body presses.
Yeah. That's the thing. No, this is legit. This is legitimately a thing that could happen.
Oh, man.
That's the setup right there.
That's legitimately a thing. And I think Stack Attack can set Trick Room, too.
Yes.
So, like, that's even worse.
That is insane.
You, like, pair it up with a Clefable, click the Follow Me button, set up the Trick Room, then you go big.
Yep. And then just Steel Spike, Defense Boost, Steel Spike, Defense Boost.
Oh,
and Body Press for the win.
Yeah, we're talking the real strats here, okay?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I mean, it's not like, I don't see it being super healthy. I don't see the meta being super healthy, but who knows?
Are there any quick bans that we're expecting?
I mean, in OU? Yeah, probably.
So many possible ones. Like, Genesect might touch OU. They might decide not to let it this time. Especially
touch
now
OU
it's
for,
movesets.
Like, the 5 seconds it can, and then...
Yeah, especially now that it's not restricted to certain natures and stuff for the shift gear set anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you run Genesect in OU, always make it shiny so they don't know, because that's the only thing that kind of isn't changed with legality.
Yep.
That's the only one that can have extreme speed and shift gear. So always run shiny Genesect. If you have a choice.
Yes. Yes.
Two other quick bans that were not banned last gen, but probably will be this time, are Tapu Koko and Tapu Lele, I anticipate.
I think this might be a larger question for you, because you've been following the OU bans more than I have. And like in VGC, I'm just at the will of Nintendo, which is just like, yeah, these are the Pokemon.
Yeah, you're along for the ride. I can directly influence what I fight.
Personally, I think, like, being a previous OU player, I wonder if it's necessary for Smogon to rethink how they do tiering, because in certain scenarios, I think in this scenario now where like we just don't have like Pokemon dump and then like 4 years, I don't know that their system can work as well.
They're in an awkward spot and they're trying to make it the best that they possibly can, and I've been watching, and you guys should totally check it out. I've talked about him on my Battlecast shows. Finchinator.
Okay.
He has YouTube stuff. He's a OU council person. He used to be the council head for OU. He's not anymore, but he's part of it still. He's got a lot of videos and explanations on the reasoning behind council stuff is making the decisions that they are. And he admits the flaws. He admits the attempts to, because they're in a lose-lose situation. If they go the same way that they always have with the suspect test process, it's slow. They can't avoid that. So people are like, oh, it's ban worthy, but they haven't done anything. But if they try and go fast, people yell at them. Like what they mm-hmm. tried the Cinderace quick ban, and everyone freaked out. It's like, you only banned this for your internal Smogon tournament. No, we banned it because we saw it was unhealthy and we're trying a different approach with the promise that we'll do a suspect test later. Mm-hmm. They're in a lose-lose. It's a problem that they know they have, they're working on, but with the DLC, this one being the last one we know of for a while, it might be able to kind of...
Well, I just don't see Young Goose shaking up the meta in the next one, so...
Yeah. Yeah, no. Probably not.
I see Gumshoe shaking it up too much.
Yeah. They're probably going to throw out a couple big quick bans real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Tapu Koko, Tapu Lele issue, possibly a Pheromosa and Genesect and Naganadel if they survive and make it to OU. They'll probably all be quick banned if they touch relatively quickly. I doubt they'll go through a suspect test process with all of them. They'll try it out, see if they're manageable without the Z crystals, but they probably all won't be still.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Like, Z crystals were a problem, but I don't know how much of a problem. Like, I think the biggest case of, like, a Pokemon being really oppressive with a Z crystal and then losing it, making it not as bad, is probably Landorus.
Landorus and Naganadel. I would group Naganadel in the same grouping there.
I could agree with that.
Because that's what pushed it over the edge. Until it gets a nasty plot boost, it's fairly weak.
Yeah.
And it depended on that devastating Drake to really get the ball rolling mm-hmm. on it. It's still revengeable without it. It's still weak without it. But I still think it'll be too much.
I'm not too worried. Like, in terms of VGC, they're pretty good at making sure their stuff is semi-balanced. Like, since Chalk happened, honestly. They've really hated having teams like that. Like Chalk, and then I guess the year after that, there was a pretty standard team that people would run in VGC 16. But after that, they've been really good. One, they've been really good about just like throwing random stuff into the meta to like shake it up in the middle of each one.
Right.
Whether it'd been like DLC. Like DLC is a fantastic way to keep that meta healthy and fix a lot of the problems. And currently in the online generation where they've also like made different seasons and stuff like that. And until we get, you know, events back, we're not going to know, like, if there's an official format outside of the series that they give us or not, because they did that one online tournament with Series 5 during Series 6, and it was weird, and everybody was unhappy. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
mm-hmm.
I agree with that. But I Ultra Beasts worry me. I mean, I'm worried specifically about, like, Kartana and Celesteela.
Celesteela is going to hit UU. Telling you now.
Well, and not in VGC, though. Like VGC.
Oh, yeah, not in VGC.
So in VGC, Celesteela is very oppressive.
That's true.
Celesteela is very good in VGC, especially because it gets access to Wide Guard.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Wide Guard, I think, is a huge problem in general, like just for VGC, because it's spammable, for mm-hmm. one. It's not like Protect, where if you use it in sequence, you lose accuracy. You lose a chance of it succeeding.
Huh.
You can just use it every turn. Wow. You can just Wide Guard. Could you imagine that? Like, and then your opponent's only get like Earthquake or something. I don't know that it's as much of a problem because High Horsepower's got much better distribution now.
Yeah.
But like, most people are running single target things anyway, mostly because Dynamax forces you to do that. So maybe that changes it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not like a VGC expert. I'm just like a VGC knowledgeable person.
Right.
And I can see things, but like. That's one of the issues I can see. I don't know. In my personal opinion, what I'd like to see is circuitry become viable. like that's honestly in my heart of hearts, I want circuitry to be viable. He was viable for such a short time in like pre-Bank OU in Gen 7.
Yeah,
it was so much fun, and I loved it.
So I have another question for you guys. So in the last game, terrain was huge, right, with the Cocos.
And it still mm-hmm. is.
Right. And that's being used with like okay, the only team battles that I was doing was like with Barrascuda mm-hmm. and Pelipper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to kind of get the double rain thing going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that still a giant thing in VGC meta right now, and do you think that it's going to switch over to the Cocos terrain setting?
So right now, I think terrain's going to be not as reliable with the Tapus.
I would agree with that.
But like, think so. Like the thing that was super, so if you look at like the 16 Pokemon that got banned for Series 6, right? Rillaboom was one of them. Rillaboom is incredibly oppressive because he has grass, he can set grassy terrain. Grassy Surge, that's it. Yeah. So he gets Grassy Surge, so he can set Grassy Terrain, and then he gets, what's that move called? Oh my gosh.
Grassy Glide.
So he gets priority in Grassy Terrain, he gets Grassy Terrain boost, and he gets Stab. Like, he's doing, like, wombo combos over here with Grassy Glide. It's nuts.
It's the same in OU. He's number 4 in the OU ladder right now usage.
It's nuts. And I think, because right now we only have 4 terrain setters in general.
Yeah.
2 of them got banned from VGC for being in top 10. Indeedee and Rillaboom. And we got to keep picking Pincurchin, sure. We got to keep Galarian Weezing. But neither of those is really that good. But I think in Series 7, when we get access to the Tapus and we get Rillaboom comes back and stuff like that, I think you will not be able to rely on the same terrain strategies people were relying on in Series 5. Mostly because these Tapus exist. Because, yeah, I could bring in my Rillaboom, but then you can bring in Tapu Koko next turn and then kill my terrain.
Yeah.
And then my Rillaboom's kind of just a Rillaboom. And I think there's a lot of value in that. I use terrain all the time. Like, one of my favorite strats in Series 6 has been... P. McGee made this team that I really, really liked. And he, for those of you at home who don't know, P. McGee's favorite Pokemon of all time is Alolan Raichu. And so he wanted to make Alolan Raichu work. And its ability, you need electric terrain so that it can go super fast. And we got this new move called Rising Voltage, which does like extra damage on electric terrain.
That's why Coco's broken.
Does it get Rising Voltage? Tell me no.
Yeah, of course it does.
Oh, no.
It also gets Close Combat now.
Oh, no. I don't like any of this.
And Play Rough.
Okay, question. Does Bulu get Play Rough?
No. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Tapu Bulu.
Yes, Bulu gets Play Rough and Close Combat and Grassy Glide.
I'm not happy anymore.
It's better Rillaboom.
Yeah,
straight up.
It's better Rillaboom. Yep. So, yeah, I don't think terrain's going to be as reliable because I think you're going to see more terrain wars once that happens, which is good. And I think Dynamax, especially in VGC, can help you change it up. As well, because a lot of moves set terrain.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was what I was thinking about, you know, like, cause you've got, let's say each team has a dedicated, terrain, setter, and then somebody just, you know, Dynamaxes and clicks, you know, I mean, you could cycle between like 4 different, I mean, you wouldn't want to, but.
So back in like 2016, we had Weather Wars. Well, even before that, we had Weather Wars back in Gen 5. In OU, but like it's just going to go back to that mentality of war, like warring over who controls the terrain, who controls terrain, who controls the weather. Same thing, right?
Yep.
It's just another. It's just like another thing to add. You can't war over gravity. That's probably not going to happen.
I wish that was an ability that set gravity. Like I wish Cosmo.
That would be cool. That would be cool. I think there should be an ability that sets gravity. I'd be into that. It would be Flapple's best friend.
It would be.
Be Flapple's best friend. I think that should absolutely happen. I would love to see something like that. I don't think we're going to. I think the big thing from Crown Tundra is we're going to get a lot of old guys back.
The
thing that is still an unknown to me is Calyrex going to be available in like VGC metas? Because Urshifu is. Two, are we going to, are Regieleki and Regidraco good?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm so excited to see their ability and stat spread and everything.
Their stat spread, I'm very curious about. Like
I am too.
I'm very curious about it because I can see because Linian was talking about it with their stat spreads of the other Regis being very defensively oriented and like they're it's definitely a trio of stats.
Uh huh.
And I would be very interested to see. I'd be very interested to see if they did the same thing but with like attack for Regidraco and Regieleki.
Yeah, I am very scared of those two,
yes.
Very honestly.
They're probably very slow still, but like into a Trick Room meta in like VGC, that could be good. The other thing that is going to be a meme for like half a minute in VGC is going to be Galarian Weezing Regigigas.
Yep. I was thinking that.
That's going to be a meme for like half a minute, but then people are going to be like, Coco destroys, boom, or something's going to, like, it's going to be like, Urshifu killed it.
Wait, will something like get rid of slow start? Is that what's
going
on?
Galarian Weezing gas. Neutralizing gas from Galarian Weezing is the ability that removes all abilities on the field.
Oh, man.
So it would get rid of slow start, but if Galarian Weezing left the field, then slow start would reactivate.
Right, right, okay.
So it would just be a... But yeah, you could theoretically have Regigigas turn one. Like, just blowing people up turn one. Like, you could go big with Regigigas turn one.
I'd be curious if you can keep Regigigas on the field for five turns before Weezing is removed, if it resets the count.
No, because if you look at something like... I think the way the mechanics would work... Because like if you look at something like Weather Setters in Neutralizing Gas, as soon as Weezing's gone, they activate.
Yeah, so it'll start the five turn count from there. It's not like you can limit that. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not like you'd be like, oh, he's been on the field five turns. Never mind. It'll be like, no, here's your five turn. Just wait five turns now.
They just start now instead of when you were first out.
And if there were already other terrain setters out there, would that happen like based off speed?
What do you mean?
Like which terrain would be set up?
Oh, yeah, that's how it works now. Yeah.
Yes, the slowest one remains.
Okay.
It's, go ahead, Seth.
I think the thing that'll kill that meme is the fact, and this is going to be weird, Regigigas only has 160 attack, and it doesn't have return anymore.
That's true.
So what is it going to hit you with?
Max
Strike. Why bother?
Max Strike.
Yeah. If you choose to do that with it, I mean,
I think it's a, it's just a bigger brain Porygon Z.
Yeah. But point. I mean, it's not that big.
No, that's why I called it a
anymore.
Meme. That's why I
yeah,
called
exactly.
it a meme.
That's what'll kill the meme. People will realize it's still bad.
It's not great. it's not great, but like, that's the meme. Yeah, I'm sad Return's gone. Return was a fun move. That's disappointing. Yeah. Like, there's some moves I'm okay with them getting rid of, like high jump, or not high jump kick,
hidden
but just
power.
Like jump kick. Hidden power, I think, was solid. I don't think the removal of hidden power by itself was the best move, but I think the removal of hidden power plus increasing the distribution of moves in other Pokemon was a good move.
I'm personally tickled because it makes things actually counter Pokemon. Like now Volcarona is always countered by Heatran.
Yeah, no. I think it's really stupid to give special attackers an attack that's 60 base power of any type you need it to be.
Lando always counters Lando, not only sometimes counters. I think the fact that hidden power is not here will contribute to Lando not being as omnipresent as it once was.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I think it's too early to say.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad.
He doesn't have as many tools in his toolbox. I will say that. I do not know, but he did. We're going back to almost the same amount of tools he used during Gen 6. Because HP Ice Lando wasn't a huge deal in Gen 6.
Yeah, I still think it'll be the number one used Pokemon in OU because it does so many things.
Yes.
Now. But it won't be like 50% usage. It'll be
and you have to remember, especially in VGC, he can still go big.
Yeah.
And Max Airstream.
Yep. In VGC, he'll be nuts.
Yeah, and maybe you just get away with, like, regular Lando in that case, and you don't even need Therian, but actually, Intimidate's nice.
Sheer Force is cool, too, though.
Sheer Force is cool, but I think Intimidate is much spookier.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other situations in which new moves are on Pokemon, kind of like what I mentioned with Coco, with Close Combat and Play Rough.
Yeah.
Now. And also even like the Isle of Armor tutor moves, because that's part of what makes Lele busted is it's got expanding force on psychic terrain that it sets by itself.
Wow.
Feeny gets flip turn. So you've got a misty terrain setter that can just hop out and can't be trapped by Heatran's Magma Storm anymore because you can just flip turn out of it.
I think Feeny's just going to be Feeny. I'm not going to lie. I'm not worried about Feeny. I think Feeny's just going to continue being Feeny.
I agree. I was just citing an example. Kartana gets Grassy Glide, for instance.
Yeah, no, that's going to be Spook.
Yeah. Volcanion gets Scorching Sands, so it could burn you in three ways.
Volcanion will actually be available to you. Overall, I think it's going to be an interesting change. Like, this is an interesting shakeup, and I don't know, this is one of those things that, like, this is what we're seeing now, like, a year after Swish came out, is what I'm usually looking at, like, when we get the new Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that I really appreciate the slow rollout. I know I, like, do a lot of Dexit crap, but, like, I really like this like the slow rollout. Honestly, all they need to do is be like, yeah, it'll all happen in time. Like, you'll get everybody back at some point.
Yeah.
If they just said that, sure, this is great. I love having these slow rollouts so we can have like we can have rotations in the Pokemon video game as well as the TCG.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I've liked rotating OU, honestly. As much of a hassle as it's been sometimes, once we got the really, really toxic crap out, like Dracovish, it's been fun. It's been fun having kind of a rotating OU that's not...
Yeah, I enjoy doing this, and like I hope they can keep doing it, and like we inevitably get everything back. I really hope that we can keep doing this. Please, TPCI, let me keep doing this.
Yeah. Either more DLC or keep this same structure for future games. That would be great.
Either more DLC or... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think if they did, like, a new game, it would just be like, here's the rest. And they just dump it, you know? Because yeah. somebody's I mean, favorite like Pokemon's gumshoes for some reason, you know?
Yeah.
With that said. So on that note, though, this is a good place to stop. We're going to kick it on over, guys, after this. Well, no, I think I just played the music here. We're just going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 73, Tentacruel, the jellyfish Pokemon.
Normally, it has 80 poisonous tentacles. The longer one has been alive, the fewer tentacles it will have.
Huh.
Poor thing.
Well, most of his Pokedex entries do talk about the 80 tentacles, 10 of which you can see. And...
The only ones that make it are just incredibly old.
Yeah, the only tentacruel we've ever seen.
Kill me!
Just old tentacruel. That's what I'm getting at. But we've got a wonderful team for you today with Tentacruel. It's for BSS. Tentacruel, surprisingly, not a bad Pokemon. I feel like on face value, you'd be like, it's a Tentacruel. But he's not bad.
Yeah.
I always love him.
Water Poison 1 isn't a terrible type. It's not a terrible type. It's only weak to electric, ground, and psychic. Not bad. And he's got like a ton of resistances. He's resistant to more things than he is damaged normally by. Like, he's resistant to fighting, poison, bug, steel, fire, water, ice, and fairy. That's an insane amount.
There's a reason Toxapex is as good as it is. Typing is one of the reasons.
Yeah, but if you're just like, man, Toxapex is really slow, Tentacruel can't be much faster. You're wrong. His base speed's 100.
Yeah.
And he's got a base 120 special defense, which Toxapex would say, like, oh, that's not bad, you know. Base 80 special attack, okay. Base 65 defense, let's not talk about it. Base 70 attack, why? And then base 80 HP. But it just because its attack stats aren't the greatest doesn't mean it can't do things. And so this is a team, like I said, for Battle Stadium singles. The code will be on the Discord for you later this week. And P. Mickey and Claude are going to play with it on YouTube, so you can watch that video when it comes out. So let me go ahead and pull the team up. I had it. I forget where it was. It was in Discord, not in my browser. So Tentacruel is on this team with an Assault Vest to take that 120 special defense. And so that's going to be nuts. And so he's got Sludge Wave, Scald, Dazzling Gleam, Icy Wind. We don't know his nature because all we have is the rental team, unfortunately. But you can take the rental team and figure it out. But it looks like he's just there to attack, be bulky. He can burn some opponents, which would help out with that really pity attacks that it has. Sludge Wave is good coverage. Icy Wind for some speed control. And Dazzling Gleam is like really odd coverage as well. But he gets it, I guess. And then... we also have Lycanroc on this team with a Choice Band and Tough Claws. So everything he has that makes contact is going to just be boosted even more. It works really well when he's small, but I think this works also really well if you make Lycanroc go big. This is Dusk Form, by the way. Outrage, Thunder Fang, Accelerac, and Close Combat. So one, you get a little bit of priority with Accelerac, which is a great priority move, by the way. And he can also do Close Combat, which he just got. I think he got Close Combat this gen and Outrage, which is insane. He's much better than he used to be.
For sure.
Much better. And outrage, like, he can just outrage to, like, murder face them, I guess. Or he can do Max Dragon, whatever that's called. Max Wormwind? Is that what they call it?
That's what it is.
And so you can get attack drops on your opponent, which is also really nice. So then your Tentacruel can come in later and not die. But, yeah, Seth, tell us some more.
You bet. I've got one of my favorite duos because between the two of them, they resist the entire type chart. Starting off, we've got Hydreigon. It's got Dark Pulse, U-Turn, Fire Blast, and Draco Meteor with a Choice Scarf. It's just a fast revenge killer with a lot of good special moves. Mm-hmm. So it's a Hydreigon. It do Hydreigon things. It's very good. Then the next one, you guessed it, is Aegislash holding a Lumberry. It's got Iron Head, Shadow Sneak, Close Combat, and Swords Dance. It's violent. So yay.
This team is like really well balanced, I feel. Like this is a really well balanced team. And it's really nice in the meta right now because like you're missing Dragapult.
yeah, that makes it really good.
Yes, it does. It makes everything really good.
That by itself would dismantle this Hydreigon Aegislash core.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Basket, take us home.
All right. Rounding up the bottom, we have Rotom Moe with Levitate and a Citrus Berry. We've got Volt Switch, Leaf Storm, Will-O-Wisp, and Hex.
One day, my favorite Rotom is going to be viable. And
what is your favorite Rotom?
The fridge.
Rotom Freeze.
I would call him Perry. Name him after the fridge from the Chicago Bear, the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Oh, yes.
And do you want me to tell you a cool story about the fridge from the Chicago Bears, Seth?
Oh, please, please tell me a story.
So the 1985 Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah, with the coach and Walter Payton. Walter Payton's one of the greatest running backs in all of the NFL.
That's what I thought.
And you knew that, I know. And So in the 1985 Super Bowl, though, the Chicago Bears played the New England Patriots. And the Patriots were very apt on not letting and shutting down the running game at the end zone.
Yep, that's how them do.
And so they wouldn't let Walter Payton couldn't score a touchdown. And it was a Super Bowl, you know? And so what happened was on a running play on the goal line.
No.
It was a running play from Walter Payton.
A running play?
The fridge was a front lineman. And he picked up Walter Payton and threw him over the defensive line.
Over the defensive line?
Into the end zone.
Into the end zone?
There was a flag on the play because that's illegal. And when asked about it later, they interviewed the fridge and asked him why he did it. And all he said was, all I wanted was for my little buddy Walter Payton to score a touchdown. And that's why Rotom Fridge should be viable.
And
totally worth it. Totally worth it. Uh-huh. All right, moving on. Alakazam.
Thank you.
Alakazam has Magic Guard, Focus Sash, Psyshock, Dazzling Gleam, Nasty Plot, and Energy Ball.
This is why they like the Whimsicott episodes better, isn't it?
Talk about the end zone and football.
All right. No, I think the Rotom Moe is like very standard play now. Like that's standard fare. I would even say that is typically what you would see on a Rotom Wash now. Even you would see Will-O-Wisp and Hex like that. Rotom really has like a four move slot syndrome in that regard. Well, not even four move slot syndrome. It can only run four moves.
Yeah.
If you notice, a lot of these are also like very keen on like lowering the attack of your opponent as well. Which is, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a threat, but when you're thinking about things like Dracozolt's real big in BSS, it was ranked 11th before they did the bans, so it was one away from getting the boot.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like Dracozolt's like a terror, and so you need to really like watch your attack stat, especially if you want Tentacruel to like come in and do stuff. And that's why like Icy Wind's there to like help reduce the speed off like a Dracozolt or something like that.
Yeah.
You're also naturally faster than a Dracozolt, which is also nice. but you also have Dazzling Gleam to really back that up as well. I would love to see Tentacruel go big and use like Max Fairy.
Oh, dude. That would be so cool.
I would love that. I would love to see that. But I mean, this team looks fun. I would say more so than like our other teams where we usually have like one really cool gimmick. This team doesn't really have a gimmick.
Yeah.
It just seems
really solid.
Yeah, it's just like standard fare and it might just do okay. Like it's probably better than average.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to learn like for a balanced team, we don't do that very often, I guess. Maybe it's good that we didn't do like a gimmick team this week. You guys can go try it out and you can learn BSS. I definitely suggest it. I think it looks like a solid team all around. If anything, Tentacruel's like the weak slot.
Hey, Pokemon Company. Gigantamax Tentacruel?
I think Gigantamax is a bad idea in general, so let's not even talk about that.
Let's get the Mega.
I don't want to... Yeah, that's fine. Mega Tentacruel.
That would be cool. That would be real cool.
Mega Tentacruel. It actually has 80 tentacles. all right. But that is going to be it for this. You can try the team, like I said, on the Discord server, or you can watch P. McGee and Cloud9 drive it later this week on YouTube. So with that further ado, we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as I'm obligated to say, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
I think that was good enough.
Was it?
I hope so. I hope they don't sue us. all right. So, welcome to the mailbag segment. The mailbag segment is the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. You can send them into pokopodcast@gmail.com, and we ask you what you what's your most... I think this week, I don't know what the mailbag question was because I wasn't there. But I believe it was, what is your favorite... what are you most excited for in Crown Tundra? I believe. Yes. That's what we'll say it was. And we got emails from across the board, all of the fans. So we're going to go ahead and read a few of those to you guys here today. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you had to say. Yeah. And oh, yeah. By the way, if your email's great, we will give you a Green Tauros badge and only one Green Tauros badge per person this week. This is no way being intimidated to us by the Green Tauros Incorporated. All right. Our first email this week is going to be from Mega Flygon.
All right. I've got that one. Hello, Thatch, maybe. Joke's on you. It's me. And co-hosts of Pokeland.
I think he was wondering if I was back from vacation, which I appreciate.
Mega Flygon here is back again for yet another mailbag. But first, how do you do? I'm good. How are you guys? You good? Take that as yes. Me... Me, I've been ignoring Pokemon because I have nothing to do in Swish and don't care about Let's Go or Quest, but I finally got around to finishing the Galar and Isle of Armor Pokedex after way too much time. And now the mailbag. What do I think about Dynamax Adventure? What do I think? I'm sort of on the fence about it. On one hand, all of the legends are coming back. Yay! But I miss the other. This seems like a really roundabout way to do something that seems so simple, but all the legendaries are coming back! Yay! And Salamence! And Garchomp! And Dragonite! Yeah, okay, that's enough. I'm excited, but I don't want to kill anyone's ears. He's cheering. Yes. Anyway, I've rambled on for long enough. Catch you on the excited flip-flop Mega Flygon.
Ooh, see you later, bud.
Yeah.
I like Dynamax Adventures. So apparently the mailbag question is, what do you think about Dynamax Adventures?
I think it's cool.
I'm really excited for it. I can't wait to play it with Seth.
Yeet.
Only Seth.
Only.
No.
No basket.
No.
Beat it.
This next one is, this next email comes to us from Cohen. Hello from sunny, in quotes, Australia, where it's currently very cold outside.
Oh yeah, it's almost... No, it's summer.
It's summer there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you've had various younger people on the show, but I'd say you haven't had one still in primary school before. In fact, my first main series game was and is Pokemon Sword. Oh,
nice.
No.
Welcome to indoctrination.
This is also like the best written email.
I was just going to say
if
that.
If he wouldn't have told me, like, I wouldn't have believed he was in primary school, by the way.
Holy crap.
Like, he's got paragraph breaks like a normal person. And, yeah, he's got, like, very good email etiquette for being in primary school. The story isn't the best, but I'm finding the post-game lots of fun. I thought the Isle of Armor was great, and judging by the way the DLC trailers have focused more on the Crown Tundra, even more work was put into it. Yeah, I don't want to say that yet until I see it.
I think it'll be exciting. We'll see story stuff.
I think
anyway.
It'll be exciting. I think it'll be exciting. The legendaries will be fun, and the new Galar farms too. I have to admit, I'm not excited at all for the Galarian Star Tournament. I feel the same way, by the way.
Yeah.
I like that, like, especially when they're just like, you can battle all of the people you already did.
Yay.
And it's just like, oh, so, like, cause like, I expected when they announced it, it was gonna be like, Lance is here. or something like that. And it was just like, nope, didn't happen. I was like, huh. I mean, it could still be like a hidden detail that they haven't put in. Because like everybody's like, oh, with all the Pokemon they added, you can make all of the champions teams.
I noticed that, yeah.
It's also a lie, but that's fine. Because, riddle me this, Seth, who was the first champion in Pokemon? First champion battle.
Blue,
okay. Do you know what was on his team at the end?
Not that's missing.
Pidgeot. Pidgeot's missing.
Oh no.
Literally the Pokemon they forced him to have in Pokemon Masters.
No, we're not going to have Pidgeot.
Pidgeot.
No.
I think Pidgeot's like, if you're going to bring back a bird, it's Pidgeot or Staraptor.
I love Pidgeot. Staraptor's cool too.
I wish they could settle on a way to pronounce its name.
Pidgeot? Pidgeot? It's fine.
Yeah.
You just say it really fast and it doesn't matter. For me, the best part will probably be the new locations. They look amazing. Ah, yes, the mailbag topic. Dynamax Adventures. I think they could be quite fun. But what's all this smart device required business? I don't know about that. I think that's just the, like, if you want to voice chat because Nintendo forces you to go through the app to voice chat. Just go on Discord.
Oh, yeah.
Just go on Discord. Oh, well, it could be fine. Well, that's it. I hope this email is read on the show, which is a good show. My favorite part is actually the mailbag. You are in the minority, and I appreciate that. Goodbye. Thanks, Cohen. P.S. You can't give me the Green Taurus badge since I'm not on Discord, and you shouldn't be. You would be breaking terms of service. So, all right. Thank you for that, Cohen. We really appreciate it. Our next email is going to be from Duck Supreme.
Hello again, fellow Puckle humans. Back with another mailbag. I've changed my name from Supreme Malamar to Upside Down Malamar. I've been annoyed with myself because if I only wrote in last week, I could have gotten the Green Tauros badge. But then I think, would it have been me who got the badge or everyone else that got it? So I guess I'll have to get it the conventional way. I've been messing around in Showdown again and have some tales to tell you. I've made the first Attract and Thunderwave team, aka you'll move in about 5 years. I've also discovered something called the Lady Manita. Am I pronouncing it? Lady Manita tournament. Sure. The best one was a 1v1 tournament, but everyone had to use Wobbuffet. So every match was a PP battle in a 64-person tournament, 180 turn battles, and the tournament took an hour and a half.
Oh.
I've fallen in love with the Scyther as a Suicide League and Starmie as a Rapid Spinner. That's a lot to unpack there.
That was a lot of different metas in one sentence.
Attract Thunder Wave sounds...
That sounds like a Seth meta.
I want to do that.
And the 1v1 Wobbuffet? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And I don't know that I want it. That's a war of attrition.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't want any of that hot garbage.
Yeah, that's a war of attrition. I think it literally would just come down to like... Because like you're both going to struggle at the same time, right? So like it's just a speed tie type deal.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never had Scyther as a suicide lead, but I do enjoy Starmie as a rapid spinner, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or did. I don't think you can really do that anymore, unless you're playing a...
You can at OU.
Yeah.
And rapid spin got the buff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about OU, but I don't know. Now for the question of the week. Just being honest, Dynamax Adventure is something I'm not going to do very much.
Oh.
Because my only friends that play Pokemon are myself, and myself.
Come to Discord.
So, yeah, go to the Discord. So it's not going to be something that's going to appeal to me. But besides that, I think it was a good idea. Instead of finding giant Pokemon in a space that could barely fit me, you find them in an actual cave. Well, this is my mailbag, and see you next time.
All right. That's going to be it for the mailbag this week. I really appreciate everybody who sent them in. Thank you to Cohen, I guess, Upside Down Malamar and Mega Flygon. Do you guys want to give the Green Taurus badge to any? I want to give it to Cohen, but he's not on the Discord server.
I do too, just because that was the most like well-written email we've gotten in a while. Can we just like have it like there waiting for when he becomes of age to join?
Yes, that is the right. That is right.
He just needs to email us and be like, hey, I've turned the appropriate age. Can I have a Green Taurus match now?
Exactly.
My time has come.
No, I am all for it. Also, it's just another one of those things that show if you have paragraph breaks, Thatch will choose your email for the Green Taurus match. The other two did not have paragraph breaks. All right. So, yeah, go ahead. When you turn 13, come to Discord. But yeah, if you want to email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, the best way to do it would be to answer the question, what Pokemon are you most excited to see return in Crown Tundra? Send it in, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. I'm sure there's a lot of good answers there. And yeah, send those in. I can't wait to read them. Neither can Seth. He won't be on the show next week, but he's
excited.
No,
I will not.
He's excited. Seth's got big boy things to do.
Yeah, I've got to move.
You got to move. Are you going to invite me over after you're done?
Yeah, if you're ever in Georgia, I guess, feel free to come by my house.
Maybe I'll come to Dragon Con when it happens again.
Hey, that'd be cool.
Maybe I'll come for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
So you just have to convince Catherine. All right. So on that note, though, if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, Discord, definitely the best place to grab it. Link is in the show notes, as always. You can always check us out on social media as well, over at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr is the fourth one. Yeah. You can also check out our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/pucklepodcast, where the weekly videos are posted. I do need to get back on the ball for like another Nuzlocke. I'm very excited to do that and finish up the Nuzlocke that we have. We're on the champion, or on the Elite Four.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. We're almost there. And on that note, though, if you want to watch things live, like me grind for things or just hang out and play Pokemon and do Wonder Card Bingo, which was very successful, by the way.
Nice.
Wonder Card Bingo. It was called it's Wonder Box Bingo. That's what we played. Wonder Box Bingo is like you just take the home app and you put everything in a Wonder Box, and every hour we checked it and we had a bingo sheet of like the most common stuff to see if we got a bingo. And if we get a bingo, we do a Pokemon giveaway over at stream at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, like a Pokemon giveaway. That's what I meant. Only on stream, though. Yep. And then if you want to help support the show financially, Twitch is a good place to go do it. Just drop a subscription. You can go over to TeePublic, buy something over there. It all comes back to support us. Or more importantly, you can go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast, where we appreciate your support and we appreciate you helping us do all of the cool things we want to do, like make badges. We like making badges. All right. On that note, though, we are going to, I guess, here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Basket.
And I've been Seth Vila.
And it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.